If you wish to stand for the reading of the gospel, please feel free. But it's a very brief passage. It comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19. You will recognize this verse, I am quite certain. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This ends today's scripture lesson. This is the word of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. You're going to need to excuse me for just a moment. I seem somehow to misplace page. Ah, here's page one. That's important. As some of you know, I am a frequent guest on Facebook. And some of my things that I put on Facebook are highly political, frankly. And some of them are even funny. Well, fortunately, don't worry, what I'm about to tell you is on the funny side, I hope. But I saw this message on Facebook and I thought it was hilarious. We were talking about a time when coronavirus will be defeated and we are all going to be able to get back to our normal lives. And this person said that they thought they were going to have a little problem when that day came, though, because they couldn't be quite sure in this time when we can't get together in groups. They weren't quite sure which group that they were going to go and be a part of first, AA or Weight Watchers. Well, I think that I'll just go to both. I don't know. My goodness, though. How our lives have changed over, what has it been, a month, 6 weeks, 2 months? We have changed so much in our lives. Like this first hymn that we sang today said, "This Easter celebration is not like ones we've known. We pray in isolation. We sing the hymns alone." We aren't doing the common, ordinary things that have been, so much a part of our lives. Even a haircut seems impossible. Frankly, I think that's the first thing I'm going to do. But funerals, baptisms, weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, all of these family gatherings that usually bind us together as a family right now, we just can't do them. On Easter, our son is living in the house with us, but our daughter and her husband live over in Colton, and so we decided we wanted to have an Easter feast. So what we did is we met in the afternoon and on Easter, our son and Cheryl and I went in one car, our daughter came in her car to a place, and we had a traditional Easter feast. It was raining then, and we were underneath an overpass, sort of an overpass, and we were at least 6 feet apart, and Cheryl had made a paper bag, and we had ham sandwiches. We had Easter eggs, and they were colored there. We had all of the usual things that we had on Easter, just a little bit less. We've had to make different changes in our lives. Former presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren wrote about this change in her life that came to her, and she wrote this in the Boston Globe. She was memorializing the death of her oldest brother. And she said, "I couldn't go to the hospital and hold his hand and tell him one more time that I loved him. I couldn't go with my other brothers to remember him at his funeral. This has been hard. It has been hard, and its effects will touch us probably for the rest of our lives. But 2 weeks ago, I heard our pastor, J.T. Kim, deliver an Easter sermon that touched me deeply. And it was on this scripture passage. Pastor Beverly also spoke about this part of the Easter story in her sermon last week. But for me, it was new, it was different, and it was just what I needed to hear, and I hope it's what you need to hear today. You see, in 40 years, I have been preaching Easter sermons, and I've never seen the importance of this one particular point. Now, the whole scripture that Pastor Kim touched upon was quite lengthy, not just that single verse that I read for you today. It tells the story of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb of Jesus and finding it was empty. But then Jesus appears to Mary, says her name, and she runs to the disciples and tells them that Jesus is risen. That has always been my theme in my Easter sermons, and rightly so. But I missed something in that passage that Pastor J.T. saw. Mary goes to the room where the disciples were hiding. They were hiding in fear. Never occurred to me that they would have been afraid. I don't know why. Of course they would have been afraid. All of the power of Jerusalem had just killed their master. The governor of Israel, the Roman governor, who loved to crucify people, he had a reputation for it, had crucified their Lord, and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders that had all of the power within the community, they too wanted Jesus crucified. All of this power wanted him dead. Disciples couldn't have helped but thought to themselves, were they next? Were they the ones that would be arrested and put on trial and crucified? They must have been terrified. That death was just outside their door. No wonder it was locked. We know this kind of terror. A stranger coughs or sneezes, and we're afraid that he might or she might give us something that will make us sick. Someone comes to our front door and we grab the face mask before we open the door. In our house, we order groceries from local grocery stores, and when they are delivered, we put on gloves and masks and take the bags and we put them in our garage, and we don't touch them for 3 days. We are being extremely careful. Why? Well, because we're afraid. I have washed my hands so much that I no longer have fingerprints. I swear it's true. Yes, we know the fear of the disciples. But then Jesus stands among them in that room, and he says, Shalom. Now, in our Bible, it's translated as peace, but the word he would have used would have been shalom. That's the Hebrew word. And shalom means much more than just the word peace. Shalom is also comfort. It is reassurance. It is, do not be afraid. Jesus told his frightened disciples, do not be afraid. A great saint of the church lived in 1400s, was named Julian of Norwich, and she wrote a book entitled A Revelation of Love. And in that book she said, Christ did not say, you shall not be perturbed, you shall not be troubled, you shall not be distressed. But he said, you shall not be overcome. In these days of fear and uncertainty, the message of Jesus to the disciples then and the disciples today are still important for us to hear. Shalom. Peace. You shall not be overcome. For Jesus stands among us now and always.